You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
September the 23rd, 2022. I remind you, we are live streaming as I speak on Rumble.com. Go to Rumble.com, enter in the search engine, Larry Connors, USA, one word. It is so easy to find my programs, podcasts, all under Larry Connors, USA. You can get them from LarryConnorsUSA.com, Larry Connors, USA Facebook, or your other podcast servers. I prefer you use my page, but I'll leave that to you. This is breaking news out of Florida. Prosecutors recommending charges involving Florida Representative Matt Gaetz, Republican. He'd been accused of federal sex trafficking. Prosecutors say they are going to recommend against charging the Florida congressman. Apparently, the witnesses would not be credible. In other words, it might have all been made up. I don't know, but that's what the decision is. And, of course, in Russia, they continue to mobilize more troops for the war in Ukraine. Scenes of crying families as they tell their soldiers goodbye, maybe for the last time. They have to be, in some cases, retrained, might not be sent to Ukraine right away. And it's a mobilization of something like 300,000 that have previously served in the Russian military so far not conscripting civilians, drafting them. But they are also taking convicts in the gulag, offering them freedom. Say, you want to go free? You agree to go fight on the front lines, we'll let you out of here. Most Americans agree that illegal immigration in Biden's America is, quote, a serious issue. But they remain split when it comes to red states such as Florida and Texas sending migrants to blue jurisdictions in the north. That's according to a poll from the Economist YouGov found. 61% overall say illegal immigration is serious. 42% said very serious. One in four say it's not a problem at all. Where the hell are they growing up? We're going to spend more time on that before we wrap up this news and commentary. And I remind you, it's news and commentary. You're going to hear comments from me. If you don't like it, you know you can go somewhere else. It's not just straight news, but I'll make it clear to you that it's not just straight news. Senator Josh Hawley, Republican of Missouri, is warning that corporations are so aligned with the woke agenda, it's making them increasingly anti-American. He says it's time to end their sweetheart deals. I second that, Senator. We're getting a report from the Justice Department that the U.S. Labor Department's own Inspector General found something like $45 billion fraudulently unemployment insurance payments that went out as apparently COVID money during the coronavirus pandemic, sometimes going to Social Security numbers of dead people. And you think they can't vote for an election? Of course. Unemployment, according to a new revised forecast from Bank of America, will soar to 5.6% by the end of the year. 5.6%. The Dow Jones Industrial Average today falling more than 700 points. More than 700 points, and right now it is showing around that same number, around 670. Falling 700 below 30,000, that's a new low. They say that is into bear territory. In the UK, the British economy is not doing well. The pound crashing below $1.10 by mid-afternoon. That's a 37-year low against the US dollar. That's in London. The UK government, by the way, has removed a ban on the use of fracking in England. That's because they need to get back to drilling oil. They can't rely on Russia, and we're not doing it here. And they say getting rid of fracking is just, quote, common sense. Hey, White House, Biden, are you guys listening? Common sense. A left-wing non-governmental organization, one of those NGOs, partially funded by who else? Billionaire George Soros. is behind the lawsuit targeting Governor DeSantis because he flew illegals to Martha's Vineyard. And in the midst of all of this, out of all the illegals that had gone anywhere, about 900 to 1,000 have been shipped by Governor Abbott by buses to Chicago. And the Illinois governor is reacting. He's activating the National Guard because of this illegals being delivered to his state. They've got 0.01% of those who crossed the border, and they activate the National Guard. They must be fearful of brown people in Chicago and Illinois. Is that what they're saying? Stand by for more.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Your eyes are burning. You're sneezing. It's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Come with me now. Come with me now.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Go down the pathway of providing dollars to people, and they don't have to exchange labor, which is the way our economy functions, for money to pay for their goods and services. Do you think that leads to a labor shortage, yes or no?
Like I said, I believe we're experiencing a shortage of good jobs, not a shortage of labor. And I think it's really critical not to blame working people.
I'm not blaming working people. What I would say is I'm blaming government policy. Because if you're given money without having to exchange it with labor, having to take your talents and abilities, and you're getting money as a result, it depends on the industriousness of the individual at that point. I'm not blaming anybody. If you're giving out free money, shoot, okay, cool. Most people are just going to go ahead and take it. We know this.
He's absolutely right. Those are the words of Congressman Byron Donalds, Republican of Florida. He's calling it for what it is. If you're going to give things away free, folks are going to come for the free. If you put some restrictions on them, say, look, we're going to give you this, but you got to do something in return. Well, I don't know. They say, I'm going to quote Larry Connors. What do you mean you're going to quote Larry Connors? Well, you know, Larry Connors has a motto. If you ask him to hang some pictures on a wall, Larry Connors says, well, hanging pictures, that sounds like a project. And I have a motto. I don't do projects. So maybe a lot of them out there are following my motto. Well, in this case, we want them. If you want the money, you will do the project. I told you in news and commentary a moment ago, the Bank of America, in its revised forecast for unemployment, estimates that unemployment will soar to 5.6%. Now, they had been expecting a 5% unemployment rate. And also when it talks about the federal rate for borrowing money, they're looking at maybe a 12. Let me correct that. They're looking at unemployment going up another 12%. That would be the 5.6%. I want to clarify that. Some numbers got mixed up there. But that question being raised during a congressional hearing by Congressman Donalds puts a lot of things in perspective. A lot of things that are now wrong in this nation. We become enablers. We're just going to give, just to give, to give. And same thing that, oh, we'll let you steal up to a certain amount, and you can just go ahead and steal. Well, then why should anyone else pay for it? We're going to forgive your student loans up to $10,000 to $20,000 if there's a Pell Grant involved. Then why should anybody who's currently paying off a loan say, the hell with it, I'm not going to pay any more. Why should you go into any store and buy anything when it would be cheaper for you to go to San Francisco to fly there or drive there, or if you're nearby, if you're listening on some of those that are hearing us outside the immediate market here, you just go into San Francisco, just start picking out what you want at a Walgreens, a CVS, whatever. Just put it in a bag and start walking out. Nobody's going to stop you. Oh, they might try, but they also know, well, I'm not going to get killed over you taking some hairbrushes and Tide soap or whatever else you want to pick up. Have you noticed that at your store? Have you noticed that there's so many items now behind lock and key? Or they got these little devices attached that somebody's got to come unlock it before you can pull it off the shelf? Or that you can not walk out of the store with it? It'll send off a signal. Shoplifting has always been big. But we're beyond shoplifting now. We're beyond just doors are open, just like the border's open. Come in and get what you want and walk out with it. And in the San Francisco area, California, if it's under $1,000, we're not going to really charge you. And if we charge you, we're going to let you go without bail. And in the state of Illinois, starting in January, you can even commit second-degree murder or kidnapping. We're not going to do anything about that either. It's become a systematic unjust nation. Now, folks are going to say, well, it's always been unjust for a lot of people, be they of color or age or religion. But this has nothing to do with either of those. This has to do with, one, law and order, and two, basic work ethic. I have no doubt most of you listening out there, your parents worked hard, their parents worked hard, and your great-grandparents worked hard, and you're working hard. And hopefully your kids will pick up from you. Some might not. They might just check out. Because that is happening more and more often. And it's also getting tougher for those who are trying to actually make it, because the costs keep going up. I mentioned earlier that the Dow today falling below 700. That's moving into bear territory. Bear territory is the companies are not going to be spending any more money for a long time. Unless the economy's revved up and moving forward, why should they spend dollars to start a new business, open up a new location, facility? It also means more closures. Some that have a store maybe nearby them in their neighborhood that they can walk to, who knows, that store chain or the operator may decide, we're closing shop. And if, again, you're just going to give money without anything in requirement for it, folks will take it, and you will get nothing in return. Again, back to Congressman Donalds, Republican of Florida.
If you're giving out free money, shoot, okay, cool. Most people are just going to go ahead and take it. We know this, but if you have a legitimate economic choice to make at your kitchen table, I can go work 40 hours or I can go work 20 hours and our living does not change, People have their own decision to make about what they're going to do. The point I'm making is that labor shortage, which was created by the quote-unquote American Rescue Plan, led to a labor shortage. And that labor shortage has led to price increases because you had people who had the revenue and the disposable cash flow to buy goods, but not enough goods in circulation to purchase.
That's simple, basic economics. Which reminds me of the Biden White House staff. If I remember the figure right, I could be wrong, but no more than three or four have any economic background, the very ones that are in charge of making these kinds of decisions. And if you're just going to be giving money out, even if you intend it for a certain group that you think, well, this is really needed to help them, and it may well be. You're going to have others running in and say, I want some of it, too. I want to take advantage of it. I had that also in the news and commentary at the top of the hour, U.S. Department of Labor, finding that in multiple states, fraudsters getting away with tens of billions of dollars, often using Social Security numbers of dead people. This was money distributed by the coronavirus pandemic to help folks out that were really in need, and then others decided, hey, I want in on that game. And to them, it was a game. There were folks out there that truly need the help. And there would be more money to help those that really needed the help. But, of course, a lot of it was also stolen. So this administration's attitude would be, well, let's just throw more money at it. When you throw more money at a problem like that, that sucks up everything you've got, what do you think is going to happen? You're in a death spiral. You might as well take it, put it in the toilet, and hit flush and watch it go round and around and around and out of sight. And yet, thank God we still have a lot of people in this nation that do work hard. And sometimes they're hustling on the side to make some extra dollars. There are people, of course, that they would like to do more, but they either have family obligations they can't, or they're worried about what it would do to the family, so they don't. How many do you know like that, by the way? Are you in that boat that you'd like to maybe do more? Maybe you'd actually like to move and try a job somewhere else, but uprooting your kids from their school and what it would cause in the family, maybe you think that'll just have to wait for another time. And then I see folks on a constant basis out on the street panhandling. And they're out there regardless of the weather. They seem to be physically capable of doing anything. If they can spend hours out there doing that, why couldn't they go to some location and get a job? Now, I know they're not going to be given a cashier's job possibly, but there's a need for everything from sweeping and maintenance. And I don't want you to look at that as demeaning. It's like at schools, a lot of folks, they change the name. They didn't want to call them a janitor. They named them a maintenance person. I mean, but their job was basically sweep and clean and dust and mop and wipe things down. That's hard work when you do it day in and day out and you're trying to make your family's ends and trying to help them in the process. Put your kids through school. Don't ever look down at somebody who's working. Praise them for what they're doing, what they're trying to do. And if you see a way to help them move a next rung up to a higher-paying job and an opportunity, step forward and help them. But there are some that know they're complacent. They're going to just stay there. The other day, one of the panhandlers again comes up. I've seen this guy on the street at that location for 6 weeks straight. I roll down the window. He comes hustling over. Oh, I want to get some money. I said, you want $15, $20? He said, yeah, I do. I said, there's a job less than a quarter mile from here where they're advertising right now. No, I don't want a job. This is if he lost on the white privilege, it's his fault because he's white. He looked like, you know, he could be smart, but he's out there just fine to walk along the cars picking up whatever coins he can get, and he's part of a team that moves around. I know he is. But what we have among the liberals and the left primarily, when I, that is liberal, but they want to blame everyone else for the economic woes of the nation and the people. First blame Donald Trump, and then, of course, blame the corporations. The corporations have got to be to blame. Congressman Donalds again, Republican of Florida.
Look, I understand the majority party's desire to try to put this on corporate America for raising prices. But if you do not have enough workers working, there's not enough goods produced. If there's not enough goods produced, but everybody still has money to go buy goods, the price of each unit actually goes up. That's how inflation is always created. More policies of the same is only going to lead us further down the road to perdition, which we are already on.
Yeah, we're already on it. And at the end of that road is dead end. Dead end. This nation used to have a fire in its belly and a spirit that even though you may have hated him, and it certainly he didn't do any good for the nation or his party, Richard Nixon, he said, I love the can-do spirit. He came to Houston to get away from D.C. during the Watergate era, and I interviewed him outside NASA Space Center in Houston. He said, man, I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to come see Texas. I'm glad to see, you know, I love the can-do spirit that exists in Texas around this part of the country. Like I say, you can have your opinion about the man and what he did in politics, and I do too. I don't like at all what he did. It's obviously fraud and crime, but I would like to see America have that can-do spirit again. But I also want to remind you, sometimes when someone tries to stand up and do what the best they can, they get knocked down. And they get knocked down and slurred and slandered, especially if they are a black conservative. Herschel Walker is running for Senate in Georgia as a Republican. Coming up, you're going to hear from a man who's also a black man who says some very nasty things about Herschel.
You don't spit into the wind. You don't pull a mask off an old Lone Ranger. And you don't mess around with Jim.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I'm just a poor country senatorial candidate who isn't that smart and doesn't know a lot about a lot of things. But what I do know is that I should be your senator, so I can represent you in Congress, even though I don't know stuff like a nice suit would know, because apparently suits have brains now. I don't know a lot of stuff, but I know that I should be your senator, so I can vote exactly like Mitch McConnell tells me to vote, because I've just told you I am too stupid to figure it out for myself.
That's pretty harsh, isn't it? And the statements about Herschel Walker, Heisman Trophy winner and Pro Bowl selector, and a candidate for the Republicans in Georgia against Warnock. The statements coming from another black man that would be a political analyst on the leftist side, Ali Mastal, who writes for The Nation and also does political reporting from MSNBC and CNN from time to time. But he has no problem calling him out and just saying that using just his deep, I don't know, black dialect, whatever you want to call it, that he's just mocking Herschel Walker in that fashion. You know, we have reached a point, unfortunately, in politics that if you're going to have to mock someone all the time, then you really don't have much to run on. Now, again, that's not Warnock speaking. That's Ali Mastal. But he's doing the bidding of the left. Whatever we can do to undermine Herschel Walker and say that he's too stupid, more stupid than even a suit. The latest poll given 2 days ago, I believe this is 580 poll, shows in that race, Warnock leads by 47.8%, Walker 45.7%. 6%, about certainly within this era of margin, about 2% or less. It's very big that Republicans win Georgia, take that seat away from Warnock. And Herschel has been taunting Warnock as well to an extent. He's been trying to get Warnock to do a debate. He said, I'm not a child, he's telling folks in Cumming, Georgia. He said, put your big pants on, show up, show the people what you can do. I'm this country boy, remember? I don't know what I'm talking about, so why don't you show up and embarrass me? So you're kind of playing back at the remark you just heard from Ilya Mastal. Warnock is not doing it. He's the incumbent. If he's going to debate, it's going to be at the last minute only because he has to. But that doesn't stop the left from doing what they can to not just demonize Walker and just to ridicule him, but to destroy him.
It's one, the obvious kind of old school lower expectations, as long as he doesn't drool, or even if he does drool, as long as he doesn't trip over his own drool, he will be like, oh, Walker exceeded expectations, right? So that's, it's just a part of his, the media horse race game. But the other thing is to remind these white MAGA bigoted Southerners that don't worry, they're not electing a black man that's going to be able to think for himself, that he is too stupid to do anything but vote in the way he is told to vote by his white superiors.
Again, that's Ilya Mastal. Wonder how he would clarify and define the intelligence of their Democrat gubernatorial candidate running again because she thinks I should have been governor and I got cheated out of it. She won't admit, and she can certainly dissent and claim that she was cheated out of the election for governor last time. That would be Stacey Abrams. I wonder what Mastal would have to say about Stacey Abrams, and if you're trying to talk intelligence and who's smart and who really knows anything, when she says, as she did yesterday and we told you about it, those fetal heartbeats you hear when you go to get an ultrasound, they are manufactured sounds. There's no real heartbeat of the baby at 6 weeks. They just put that in there to make you think it's a baby, so maybe you won't abort. That's against every piece of science that created that device, and they relied on it now for decades and improved it constantly. Which, do you think Mastal would characterize her as he did Herschel Walker? I'm just another poor dumb arse. You know the answer. Coming up, what the hell is going on with our military, especially the Air Force Academy? Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
For some companies, loyalty is a lost word. You give a company your business, your years, but in the end, you're just a number. But at Ackerman Toyota, loyalty is appreciated. Thousands of customers personally know this. New Ackerman customers quickly see it. Loyalty defines Ackerman Toyota for all customers and employees. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
I am flesh and I am bone. Rise up, ting ting like glitter and gold. I got fire in my soul. Rise up, ting ting like glitter. Like glitter and gold. Like glitter. Do you walk in the valley of kings?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
With your look around the Air Force, I'm Staff Sergeant Britt Crowley. The newly established Office of Diversity and Inclusion is looking at the strategic impact of equity for airmen, guardians, and their families. The office evolved from the Department of the Air Force's Task Force on Diversity and Inclusion and is charged with identifying and changing policies and procedures that could unfairly affect underrepresented members of the Air and Space Forces.
That is an official release by the Air Force talking about what we're doing in the Air Force to be diverse and show equity and inclusion. The staff sergeant doing that reading, obviously, is doing the bidding as he was instructed to do. The Defense Department has out its own statement that they issued back in Feb of this year, stating diversity, equity, inclusion are necessaries. Let me correct that, are necessities in U.S. military. That's according to the senior advisor to the Secretary of Defense for Human Capital. I guess that means men and women. Diversity, equity, and inclusion. He said, we have a lot of progress being made. He said, some 41% of the military identify as members of minority groups, and that number will grow larger. The military must be able to attract, train, and retain them for the services to retain competitive edges. Fewer Americans, this again from the Department of Defense, between the ages of 18 to 24, the prime ages for recruits, fewer are qualifying for military service. I need to add to that. It's not just that they're not quality and can qualify. They're not even bothering to apply. And the Defense Department spokesman goes on to say, so we have to find ways of getting to a broader talent pool, broader interest groups, in order to bring these highly qualified, talented individuals. So that means what? Now look, in war, as Russia is doing now, you grab up anyone you can. Although Moscow itself has admitted, according to Putin, where there are a lot of people that probably will not be qualified to be called up. Of course, you're going to have to be retrained, those that are. But otherwise, if you can fog a mirror, we're putting you in the military. And we're going to give you a gun, put you on the front line, Ukraine. Our military has a proud heritage in this nation, of all forces and all branches. Of course, I'm partial to the Marines. But I've got friends and relatives who have served in other branches. And they're all proud of their service. And I know some who have been recently in some of those that are not so proud. In fact, a fellow Marine has said, you would not want to be in there now for what they've done to it. His word was pansied the Marines. He got into more detail, but the bottom line is not just looking for a few good men anymore. It's just looking for a few diversified, equity inclusive. I mean, you want warriors. I don't care, and the military should not care and has not in the past been concerned. Granted, back during World War II, there was a separation of the, quote, colored squadrons from the U.S. white squadrons, which was a mistake. And they, by the way, they did an outstanding job. If you've never seen and followed the story of the Red Tail Squadron and the Black Air Corps, you really should. It's an amazing story of what they did. They were not allowed to carry out direct missions. They were mostly flying missions to protect bombers, and a lot of those bombers came home because of what they did. They could do more than drive a tractor. They could fly a plane, and they could fly it efficiently and effectively and destroy the enemy and protect American troops. Same thing in Vietnam. You had mixed forces, but then again, it is depressing to see they would come back and still see scattered throughout this nation white and colored drinking fountains and white and colored restrooms. But, you know, that was during the Vietnam era. Most of that's gone now, but the mentality I know still exists among some, and you should feel guilty and absolutely shameful for even having such a thought. And when it comes to our military, they should take a step up and say, we don't care. We're going to look out. We're going to protect and watch over these kinds of things, but we're here to train you to fight for our nation. You heard on the network news a moment ago, and I didn't have a chance to report this the other day, and now the Air Force is refuting what you heard on the network news. The statement was issued yesterday afternoon. I don't know how the network news missed it. There was a story out that the U.S. Air Force Academy was telling cadets you cannot use the terms mom and dad. You can't do that anymore. But now the superintendent, lieutenant general, said, we do not prohibit the use of mom and dad or other gender-specific terms. The recent briefing on diversity and inclusion is being taken out of context and misrepresented. The slide in question was not intended to stand alone. Well, if it was even on a slide referencing using mom or dad as gender specific, that's trying to put it into their mind you're not supposed to use that. The lieutenant general went on to say our strategic competitors are doing the opposite. Our American diversity is a strategic advantage and opens the door to creative solutions. It's not an advantage. You're woking our military. The U.S. Air Force Academy is encouraging cadets to apply for a fellowship program for, quote, gender minorities. We have women in the Air Force Academy now, as we should on all academies. It shouldn't be something that stands out anymore. It should be just as routine as if you watched last night's football game and you saw that there was a female referee running along the line, calling plays and downs and so forth and assisting. Doesn't stand out anymore. It shouldn't stand out. Be they female, lesbian, black, white, Jewish, Arab, none of that should stand out. They're just doing the JLB they're given, the mission. But the Air Force Academy encouraging now cadets to apply for a fellowship program for gender minorities, and then adding, cisgender men should not apply. Now, do you know what cisgender men is? That would be your normal male. No sense you applying for gender minority. They sent this out in an email September 14th saying the 2023 application for the Brooke Owens Fellowship to undergraduate women and gender minorities interested in aerospace. That is not doing what the general said earlier, that we're opening the door to creative solution. Creative solution says you take everyone and look at them and see who would be best. You're not even giving them an opportunity to go in the class if they are a certain gender or not a certain gender. The Brooke Owens Fellowship is described as a 9-week paid internship at a leading aerospace company. Cisgender men need not apply. But if you're a cisgender woman, a transgender, cisgender, I guess you'd just be a woman and you like men, I guess. If you're a transgender woman, non-binary, agender, bigender, let me read this from the Air Force. This is on one hand appalling and laughable, at the same time disgusting and horrific that we're at this point. Here's a statement on the Patty Grace Smith Fellowship Program. If you're a cisgender woman, a transgender woman, non-binary, agender, bigender, two-spirit, demigender, gender fluid, gender queer, or another form of gender minority, this program is for you. If you are a cisgender man, this program isn't for you. But we encourage you to check out our other programs. They say they want to include. The problem with most liberals, when they say inclusion, they don't really mean inclusion. They mean exclusion. If you're including, you're not going to be dividing anyone based upon their sex, their gender, and I will repeat again, there are only two genders. That's the way God made it. If you have any doubt about that, you go out there and try to milk a bull and see what happens. They're throwing the science out. They won't admit now a heartbeat is really a heartbeat of a baby at 6 weeks. They want to identify that if you don't have a trend, if you're not showing your spirit colors and rainbow, then you're worth. Well, they're not including folks and saying, look, I'm allowed to have an opinion. I'm allowed to live my life the way I want. Isn't the key that you're allowed to live your life the way you want? That would be inclusion. It reminds me when I worked at a TV station before they fired me. That's another story for another day. Most of you are familiar with it. Down at the one end of the hall, all going down the hallway, there are numerous great photographic pictures of outdoors, eagles, things of that nature. And the last one at the very end of the hallway was a beautiful scene, landscape of Grand Canyon or something like that. And each one of them had titles under them: teamwork, spirit. This one, the very last one, inclusiveness. They shoved inclusiveness all the way down at the end. Just what we're seeing with our U.S. Air Force Academy. Coming up, let's go back in history. 1965. The words of the legendary Paul Harvey.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about, however necessary, to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve, do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington.
The words of Paul Harvey from the past, 1965, the essay he read, If I Were the Devil. I have played this from time to time over the years, and I had an email from one of the loyal listeners today, Ronald. Since he sent it to my email, which you can email as well, LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. Since he didn't post it on Facebook and one of those places where it all be exposed, I'm not going to give you his full name. He probably wouldn't mind me using it, but since he didn't put it there, I will not use the name unless he'd made it clear that I could. But Ronald wrote that, how about a little reminder and put a link to it? Paul Harvey, for those of you who absolutely don't know, and many of you would be maybe too young to know, American radio broadcaster for ABC News. He would do news and comment on mornings and middays, noon on Saturdays. And, of course, he also had the Rest of the Story programs. He did all this from 1951 to 2008, reaching something like 24 million a week. That was before the advent of all the explosion of broadcast operations and stations we have now and the internet. Rush Limbaugh is the other icon. There are only two icons of this business that I consider. That would be one, Paul Harvey, and Rush Limbaugh. I would, when I started the business, I was sitting at a small radio station in Texas. Yeah, I know it sounded like a gimmick, but I was. And part of my job every day at noon was to make sure we got the feed on the line properly at noon. So I heard every one he put up. You can't help but hear him then and hear him now and see how it relates to today. And how if I were the devil, I'd be targeting families.
If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing, I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle.
And is that not what has happened? That was also happening in 1965. And look how far worse we have gone. He was basically at that time in 1965 prophesizing the future spiritual condition of this nation. I read to you yesterday or the day before how new surveys are showing more people are leaving church, do not believe in any church, any religion. And when it comes to God, America's belief in God is hitting a new low. Only 81% of adults believe in God. God of any type. and Christian majority is going to end by 2070. Paul Harvey was seeing into the future and saying, if I were the devil, I'd do it this way. And you see the results that happened. You haven't seen the end of it yet. And if Christianity is falling off the face of America, ending in America, by majority, I should say, by 2070, for those who think we might be getting close to the end times, those who follow and read the Bible, maybe it is true. No one knows. That's only for God to know. But as he said, if I were the devil and the prince of darkness, I'd want the whole world in darkness. And I would basically talk to you in such a way that you would become pliable and you would be willing to accept whatever I put in front of you. Killing a baby, an unborn baby, is not murder. It's acceptable. That's what someone would be trying to tell you. Let's return to Paul Harvey's summation.
I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
And being successful. A colleague handed something to me. It said, written anonymously, take a moment to reflect on your day. Is anybody happier because you passed his way today? Does anyone remember that you spoke to him today? Can you say tonight in parting with the day that's slipping fast that you helped a single brother of the many that you passed? As you close your eyes in slumber, do you think God will say, you've earned one more tomorrow by the good you did today? Pretty good summation. As always, I appreciate you listening. I appreciate you spreading the word. This program is like no other talk show. And I remind you of our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.